Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
And it's hit ahead to Dreisaitl with a lot of help. Dreisaitl down low, they score! Beautiful pass to Warren Fogle! And it's 1-0 Oilers! Edmonton over the last 8 periods has outscored Florida 16-4. Here they come again, and they score! Janmark. And it's 2-0, 46 seconds into the second period. Big check delivered by Rodriguez behind the net. Shot from the point from Forsling. Turned aside. Forsling tried a one-timer again. Here comes Hyman. Score! Zach Hyman makes it 3-0.
They were 2-9-1. They were 0-3.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
They actually did it. Oh my God, they actually are doing it. We are getting ourselves a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final. Thank you, Edmonton, for giving us as much hockey as possible. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, we're here with you today. As it's less than a week, technically, from the NHL draft, 6 days. So Friday is day one of the NHL draft. Day two will be, of course, also taking part on Saturday.
They do it a lot quicker than the NFL.
Yes, they do. Mercifully, I might even add, as someone who spent way too much time here over that weekend with myself, Zach Jones, and Nate Geary, on your NFL draft coverage, I'm very happy that it's not nearly the same for that. I probably would have been put on all of it for NHL draft coverage if not for my participation in the 11-day power play.
Yes.
So I'm happy about that. I went to opening ceremony back on Thursday. It was weird. I was kind of dreading it a little bit because I had 3 skaters have to drop out.
Oh, no.
But when I went down there yesterday or on Thursday, I'm like, all right, let's get out there. Like, I want to step on the ice. Let's go. I don't care how much I have to skate.
Yeah, okay. You're just ready for it at this point. Yeah. You want out. You want out
of
the ice.
No, it's not out of the ways. It's I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited again. Like, I was kind of dreading it physically because I'm like, oh, God, we're not going to have a lot of players. This is going to stink. But now I went down there and I'm like, never mind. I want to play. Let's do this. And it's neat. It's fun. If you haven't ever gone down there next year, make sure you do. It's a great time. And so, yeah, no, I'm excited for that. I would have ended up probably on all of the draft day coverage, but next week I'll be broadcasting from Harbor Center. But we're going to have a loaded crew for that. We'll have you. We'll have Brayton. We'll have me down there from downtown. TJ Luckman and Josh Schmidt will be rotating in at the desk at Harbor Center as well. So we've got top to bottom NHL draft coverage for you Friday and Saturday. right here on WGR.
I'm excited. That'll be fun. And especially you guys rotating in. It'll be like a carousel of hosts, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to be like leaving every 30 minutes and just like try to find someone, grab them, and like sit them down for like an interview of some sorts.
Yeah.
So I actually already have booked a couple.
Oh, have you? Who's playing at that time? Do you know the teams?
I do not. However, I've already got it set up a little bit here where, you know, we're gonna have a couple extra special guests for next week. I'm excited for that.
Did you hear what's happening, by the way? Yesterday I was producing for Jeremy and Joe, and Jeremy was provoking Joe to find a guy on the Media All-Stars and just take him out. Or like, you know, pick a fight with him. Just drill someone.
I got a couple guys.
You have a couple?
I got a couple.
You might have to pass that list along because I don't know if he could find anyone. So
I got a couple guys.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's about to get physical out there. They're looking for a rivalry, you know?
I mean, at a charity event,
you know, we're going to get physical.
Jeremy White, I've got you, man, all right? Well, it's a friendly rivalry, but me and Michael Mrosiak have a friendly rivalry.
Get a little chippy out there?
We just get competitive, but not like in any sort of bad way. We see each other across the ice and we go, all right, let's go. And the effort steps up a little bit, and it's one of the friendlier rivalries to the point where he's joining my shift now for the Saturday skate.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, we've gotten to know each other over the years, and now it's just, hey, come on in. Let's go. If Jeremy needs me to fabricate some headlines, I will say he's got a – you know what? Call me on Thursday. I'll get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be the one to just, like, call in and be the brash I'll be the heel. This is coming from the guy who has a recording of a celebration very stupidly in this same matchup, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's not like I don't know how to ruffle the feathers.
Yeah, you get under the seat. Even the commentators are like, I'm switching alliances here. My allegiance is now with the Media All-Stars.
That was still a great line from Mike. It was one of the funniest things ever. But no, we get more playoff hockey, though. Thank you to the Edmonton Oilers and everything that I was dreading it when they fell down 3-0. I'm like, all right, Florida's going to win this thing eventually. They are on paper overall the better team.
I wish we had our quote book because we both said that. We were like, oh, they'll win one and then Florida will win the next game. Like, that's it.
Well, I didn't think that it would get to reverse sweep territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that. The Florida Panthers are suddenly looking like a team with a bunch of Buffalo Sabres on it. What?
Yeah. Did they sit Okposo last night? They tried to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, you got to shift up something every now and then.
Yeah, because it wasn't working. Edmonton was railing you pretty much every game. It was over. Yeah, and now it's
more
still,
the same.
Yeah,
it's not, like Florida doesn't even look like they're keeping up on the same ice. Game five was a different story. That one was a very back and forth affair, but Edmonton just had Connor McDavid say, "No, we're winning this hockey game." And we're going back home at least.
Do you think he's going to get a trophy at the end of the season here? He's got to.
Yes. I think win or lose, McDavid has the Conn Smythe wrapped up.
100%.
Because this is not a series without him. Even with Game 6 having 0 points.
Without his performance, though?
They don't have a Game 6 without his performances.
No. There's no reverse sweep without McDavid on that team.
Exactly. There's no Game 7 without that. I don't even think there's a Game 6 without that.
Mm-hmm.
Without that player.
No, Florida will come back and win before you get to game six without him.
Also, game five, McDavid had 4 points and strong-armed his will on the Florida Panthers, no matter what you could do. Like, that pass to Corey Perry for what would end up being the game-winning goal, he cuts through three Panthers almost with ease. And two things happened in that moment. One, every Buffalo Sabres fan around here goes, yep, that's right. I remember we had the worst hockey team in modern day history for a reason. It was that. We didn't get them, but that's why. And the second thing that you say, that most people just say out loud, though, is, what are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, what are you, dude? I don't know what he is. He's a
specimen of unknown, I would say.
It's so cool to watch talent like this, and I'm happy that it's showing up. This is why I wanted Edmonton the entire time.
Yeah, because they're fun
to watch. Remember what we were talking about throughout the playoffs? I was dreading most of the other teams that were in there.
Yeah, Dallas, no.
Dallas, I was on the hate train because never forget 99.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers, I was not a huge fan of. The Hurricanes, I was like, eh, maybe, okay, fine.
The Rangers are just out on in general, I think. Yeah. It's just
Florida, I was not a big fan of cheering for.
Nope.
It was this team.
This was the only one that I could be like, okay. And then, everyone kind of got on the thing where the coach mentioned the Bills, and I'm like, I mean, he's not wrong.
That was a nothing burger, though. Mm-hmm. He was citing history. Hey, all that Stanley Cup experience is really coming out to show right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that.
Look at it. They're getting reverse swept with all that experience.
Yeah, and if it happens.
Yeah, that's even worse. What did you say off air? It's the first time since when that would happen
so,
if they won?
Ready? Here are your stats for this. Because, you know, there's no more compelling stories without the numbers to back them up. And then we're going to take ourselves a quick break. Because we've got Brian Koziel to talk about more about this. And, of course, the Sabres and the NHL draft. Here we go. Ready? The Oilers are now the third team to tie the final ever. After falling down 3-0 in the series.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we're getting a Game 7 with the potential of a reverse sweep since 1945. It's happened in playoff series before.
Yeah.
But it has not happened in the finals since 1945. And the Oilers have the chance to become the first team since 1942 when the Toronto Maple Leafs did this and won. Toronto, oddly enough, the only team to succeed at completing the reverse sweep in the Cup final. Edmonton can join them on Monday night.
Yeah.
It's insane. We haven't seen this at the grandest stage since the 1940s.
That's insane. I mean, it's 80 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
80 years ago. That's almost a century. It's not been done since.
And we'll talk plenty about this, by the way. We're going to have plenty of hockey talk here today.
Next week.
But, like, you know, we're here. We're in a hockey landscape right now. There's moves being made. Like,
well, it's the only, I mean, minus baseball. The thing with baseball, you don't really start watching and getting into it until, like, playoff time. Because there's so 162 games. How are you supposed to digest all of that?
Yeah, but there's also been a lot of headlines, though, too. That's the big thing.
Yeah,
like the Coyotes and the auction being slammed shut, Washington trading for Dubois. Like, there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, the NHL is the sport to be having your eye on.
The NHL is making its headlines right now, and I could not be happier. Oh, and by the way, then the Oilers have started up a reverse sweep potential.
Yeah, and we're nearing the 1st of July and the draft, and they're still
playing.
Free agency
right after that. Like,
yeah.
We're suddenly getting a high pitch here of hockey to talk about.
In a time of year where there's normally...
And we won't have Cap Friendly after this.
No.
All right.
When does it go dark? Like the date? Do we know? July 5th? Like something like that?
It's the 3rd, but 3rd? I need to look that up. And while I look that up, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk with Brian Koziel. We'll talk everything that's going on in the hockey landscape. Throw a little golf his way here as well. It's always good to hear from Brian with that stuff, the host Tita Green, as well as everything on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Brian Koziel coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.
Big check delivered by Rodriguez behind the net. Shot from the point from Forsling. Turned aside. Forsling tried a one-timer again. Here comes Hyman. Score! Zach Hyman makes it 3-0.
The Edmonton Oilers have forced a Game 7. It's still wild to me. It is still insane that we are here talking about an existing playoff series after everything goes to 3-0 for Florida. They look like they're in control. Game 2 and Game 3, they really looked like they were just the better team. And it's like, okay, they probably got this as a wrap. But now I'm starting to think about the human element of this series and how fascinating it is, Joe, that we're looking at this in this different scope now of what could have gone wrong. And as an athlete, you learn to block out or even create motivation when there's absolutely no reason for it to exist. But as a Florida Panthers player, you got to think the mindset's going to be a little, I'm not going to say broken, but temporary blue screen kind of thing, where you don't know what you're, you don't know what you should be thinking at this point. And you go in there. First of all, you fly all the families to Edmonton and game four with a bit of an arrogance that athletes should be able to carry. But now you're flying these families back and forth, and you're not only not getting the job done, you're getting dominated. And it speaks a little bit to the human element. Of, okay, what's going on here? What are we going to do? How do we bounce back from this? And it's not like they can't handle the pressure. It's just, well, what do you do? How do you deal? And I'm not sure where you go from there. Because there's going to be plenty of people saying to the media, you know, we're fine. Now it's just one game. Blah, 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 blah. All the athlete speak that you hear. But in between the ears, there's going to be a couple players going, did we fumble this? And then they'll block it out and be like, no, 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 no. Or, you know, are we about to screw this up? We can't screw this up. We can't. And then you start gripping the stick even tighter. And the plays aren't happening because you're worried now that you're going to screw this up. That is a natural human thing. I worry about screwing things up all the dang time. Maybe that's why I'm not a pro athlete.
Normally, when you worry about it, it happens. Yeah.
No, it's my lack of athleticism. But, it's a normal thing for people to think about, and they're not robots. And this is another example of it, because this is how momentum becomes a thing. You lose a little bit of belief in yourself, and I don't fully embrace the term of momentum, but I do acknowledge its existence because there is proof of it. There's proof that it is a real and palatable thing. It's not measurable oftentimes, but you see it. Hey, how did Florida turn game five into an actual back and forth affair? Well, Edmonton scores, makes it 3-0, and then Matthew Tkachuk, bam, we're back in it. Okay, that was huge. He hasn't scored since the last series. Matthew Tkachuk, that's a big goal, big moment. And then what happens? Edmonton goes up 4-1. It could easily be the, all right, well, here we go. But then Evan Rodriguez scores 14 seconds later. Keeps themselves in it. And then it is a dogfight the rest of the way, where Matthew Tkachuk makes this perfect sweeping arc, stopping a puck from going into the net. But then Connor McDavid said, no, we're winning this game and we're done. We're going back to Edmonton again. And Connor McDavid, there's going to be plenty more that we could talk about with him. But
Sabres trade for him? Like everyone, wasn't that the big thing last offseason?
Only in Chell can you get away with that.
Yeah.
And even then, that's impossible.
Well, they're going to, how long is he locked down with Edmonton, you
yes.
think? Yeah. Just yes.
Yes. Yeah. He's there forever. Especially because they're in the final.
Well, and after this playoff performance, they're not letting him walk.
Not only that, but like he's not going to be dissatisfied with the franchise.
No, not at all.
And you can start to see a little bit of that dissatisfaction kind of being there, but he's also not the type that would be demanding of a trade.
Mm-mm.
So,
especially if he's hoisting a cup later this week, he's not going anywhere. You're on the top of the mountain in Edmonton at that point.
Yep. Yeah, and it just, but again, I circle back to the Florida Panthers. Like, I don't know if it's the wrong call to fly families out for something that you could be seeing, you know, clinching the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
But, man, it's starting to become a rough look.
It is, yeah.
Like you,
have they done it for every game?
They did it, yeah, ever since game four.
Airfare is getting expensive, yeah.
Obviously, game five, you know, they're home.
Right, yeah.
But
every away game since they've done it for, yeah.
I don't know if they did it for game six. It might have just been like, try to lock it down, let's go.
Mm.
And then they lose 5-1. But it is really just becoming this strange thing, a strange phenomenon of who is the pressure really on here? And everyone's going to say it's going to be on Florida. It's going to be on Florida. It's going to be on Florida. All eyes are on the Panthers now. Like, are you actually going to screw this up? However, Edmonton still has a fair amount as well. Why? You got off to a slow start in Game 7. What was all this for? You know, we fell down too far too fast. And we have no wiggle room. But when it comes to narratively, all the pressure really is off of the Edmonton Oilers. Until puck drop and things actually start to happen. They get to go in there and they get to just be like, all right, we're here. All the marbles. Or they could just say, we've been a streaky team all year. Let's add one more.
Yeah.
Because if there was a team that could do this, it was Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
They get off to such a disastrous start to the year, fire their head coach, and then rip off an insane winning streak to not only put themselves in position to once again make the playoffs, but draw a favorable matchup in the first round as well.
Yeah. Remember when the Sabres
just flattened
them?
And I might even say the second round. But yeah, no, like the Edmonton, the Sabres are the weirdest thing with Conor McDavid.
They just can't, he can't play against them.
He can't solve the Rubik's Cube of the Buffalo Sabres. And you know what, Connor? I get it. Big same. I can't figure them out either.
It's like that one, you know how you have like it all solved except there's like an orange and a blue, just one brick messed up?
Yep.
That's what it is. He just can't get it. You'd have to
it goes in the square
pry
hole.
It off. You'd have to cheat.
It goes in the square hole.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the Buffalo Sabres are the weirdest thing, the Edmonton Oilers. However, the Oilers, though, this season, they've been a streaky team. And here it is in the final, losing three straight, now winning three straight. What's it going to be? Do they finish the job with another immaculate win streak? Becomes the real question. And it's such a fascinating story now because it's one thing to find stories and pick them out here. Like in our job, we always try to find the stories. We try to find the things that are fascinating and to talk about. This comes so naturally and easy at this point to be like, okay, what happens here? What's the legacy? Well, the legacy is Connor McDavid's winning the Conn Smythe no matter what, hell or high water. Why? There's no game six without Connor McDavid. I would even say there's no game five without Connor McDavid. The way that he played and forced his will on another team like this to now have it where he had 0 points in game six, but the rest of the team finally came alive. And we're here. It's insane. But it's always fun to try to look and find stories. But it's even more hilarious to me when the story is just staring you right in the face. The first time since the 1940s we get the potential for the reverse sweep. Entire generations of hockey fans have not been alive to see something like this. We've seen it in lesser stages. Most famously, the LA Kings against the San Jose Sharks. The Flyers did it to the Boston Bruins. Both of these things in recent memory. But, again, nothing of this magnitude. It's just so fun to witness. It's so fun to process. Even as a fan out of market. If you don't have a rooting interest, it's still one of the greatest things. If you have a rooting interest, now both sides are so stressed. Because on one side, you have the Panthers. They are now, look, they're staring at history on the wrong side. And you don't want to be part of that because, first of all, in this day and age, in the social media era of fandom, what happens the moment a Florida Panthers fan gets into an argument online? Reverse sweep.
Yep.
Those are two words that are going to be used. It's like every Falcons fan trying to talk about football. And it could be like a good point that they're bringing up. There's going to be two dudes immediately saying 28-3.
Well, it's the Bills. Two. Zero Super Bowls.
Yep.
Yeah, just like anything any Bills fan tries to
say. The social media day and age, it would be now so frustrating if this actually happens.
Twitter or X would never be the same.
Never calling it X. No. This is a Twitter show.
Yeah. Twitter, I mean, you would just see so many reverse sweep under any post.
Any post of a Florida fan.
Not even, probably the Panthers. Any post for the Florida Panthers will forever say reverse sweep.
Team admin will just be
muting people left and right.
Yeah, I mean, they mute notifications all the time, but like, you know, it's just going to be, you're going to post that, set it, and forget it. your job is to not look at the comments at all.
Yeah.
But then on the Oilers side, as an Oilers fan, I can't imagine this not being a stressful moment for them either. Because now, more dangerously than the prospect of being reverse swept is the team that brings it back and then falls short. You had hope, and now it's gone. That might even be more harsh as a fan to deal with. And as Bills fans, we know a lot about hope and it crashing and burning.
Yeah,
we can write
a final game.
We can collectively as a city write the thesis on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it starts from the beginning and it goes as recent as Tyler Bass going wide right in that game or anything like that.
We can write the dang thesis on what it's like to have hope and lose it at its high point.
Yeah. From Scott Norwood to Tyler Bass, there's a lot in between. So
yes, there's a lot in between.
Yeah.
Like sometimes
that could be a show in itself, just the horrible moments.
Yes, but I don't want to do that.
No.
Let's not spiral everyone into a pit of despair.
Yeah.
That would be awful. But for an Edmonton fan, this is going to be, you're excited that there's a game 7, but then as that game actually starts to happen, you're just like, oh God, please do this. And me here, the hockey enthusiast, I'm just like, I want to see history. I want to see something that hasn't been seen in our generation or the generation before.
Almost a century ago.
Yeah. Where we're looking at multiple generations of hockey fans not seeing the potential of a collapse like this. And it's not like I'm cheering for the downfall of a franchise. I'm just cheering for history.
Yeah, and I was...
You want to see amazing moments.
Yeah, I was with a group of friends last night, and they were saying the score. I'm like, I don't care about the score. Just tell me game 7 or not. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
I want game 7. Like, that's it.
It's the most compelling thing. And you want to see great moments. You want to see great players creating those moments. And welcome back to the conversation that we were having years and years ago. 10 years ago, I may say. Of, okay, is this guy worth sullying our dignity for?
McDavid?
Yes.
I mean, and his roots are around here, I guess. Erie in the OHL, right?
Yeah, but no.
No.
It's different. The Sabres hosted an Erie Otters game. Like, they were very, Tim Murray's Sabres were very obvious about this.
They wanted McDavid.
They wanted this.
Yeah.
And us here at the station, at this station, before I was here, before you were even...
I was 11.
Yeah, before you were capable of sentient sports thought. I'm sitting in college, like, they're going to stink, but I'm not going to cheer for it. But, like, they're going to stink. And they're going to be the worst team in hockey. And it's going to be, like, normal, but, like, I don't need to cheer for it. But they're going to stink. So I get why people are kind of going in this direction. You need to deal with the miserable hockey team that we're going to be watching on a nightly basis.
They're looking for the savior.
And not just a savior. They're looking for any form of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Which is dangerous.
Yes.
As I just made sure to bring that up. And while we're still paying for the sins of actively cheering for landing Connor McDavid, the team that actually lands Connor McDavid still took a while to get to this point.
Yeah.
Where they were fumbling the bag. And it's different. And it's probably more frustrating because, like, the Sabres, the Jack Eichel era, it ends on a frustrating note and he leaves and wins the Stanley Cup elsewhere. I don't know if that's worse than a team having the best player in hockey and only finally now breaking through the glass ceiling. Only then to start falling backwards, and then wait, the jetpack reignites. That's what I'm thinking of with this. It's like the Oilers are finally shooting through, and then and you start falling down. 3-0 in the series. And it wakes back up. And here we are fully charging into a historic moment with an elite player that can only be capable of doing this sort of thing. Like, he's the only one capable of this madness. He's now in the top five of all-time playoff leaders in a single postseason.
Yeah. He's a different kind of animal.
He's a different kind of animal. And you see it in a game-to-game basis. He makes an amazing play that you just go, he makes a play that you'd get mad at seeing in a video game.
No, you would say the game's broken, you throw the controller, things like that, yeah.
Like, you quit the game after seeing that because you're like, it's not real.
It's like you're sitting at your desk just spewing, but you just see it, like, in real life, and you're like, okay, all right.
Like, it's the kind of thing you see in a video game, and you just go, nope, this is a broken game, bad mechanics, everything of the sort. And instead, it's, no, this guy's a real-life person, and he does this on a nightly basis. He at least has one of these moments every game.
Yeah.
It's hilariously insane to me. Hilariously insane to me. It's so fun to watch a player like this, and it's why this fan base, and I mean, it's why the members of this station were trying to put a rooting interest in landing him. Because he is that special. He is that fantastic. And it's one thing already for the Bills to have Josh Allen and the kind of special specimen that he is, but he's also still not even the best at his position. You have to begrudgingly admit that Pat Mahomes is that. But the Bills have a really, really, really cool number two. And now looking at it in hindsight, like, I don't know. It's tough. All right, we go to the Wester Hotline, and Brian Colziel joins us now here on the other side. Brian, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to chat with you here on a beautiful day.
Yeah, beautiful day. We get more hockey still, and we get to hear from you as well in the coming week with NHL draft coverage, and we always get to hear you every Saturday with Tita Green, so it's good to hear more of Brian Colziel.
Thank you. Yeah, I was counting today because I keep seeing a lot of people tweeting and noting of how long the Stanley Cup final is taking, which it is. I am enjoying the night that there's games, obviously, but I just counted it today. If you count today, today is the 68th day. 68 since the last Sabre game. That was against, if you remember, they beat Tampa Bay that day by a score of 4-2. Dylan Cousins scored twice. So I figured I'd give everybody a recap on that last Sabre game, which feels like years ago. But yes, 68 days ago, the Sabres played a game, and we're still going here in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And, of course, now comes the penultimate ending, Brian. Game 7, not just Game 7, but a historic Game 7. This is the first time we're going to be seeing a team coming back from 3-0 since 1945 and forcing that Game 7. And it doesn't happen without just how amazing and spectacular Connor McDavid has been.
He has been by far just, I mean, we know he's the best player on the planet. Like, that's not a surprise to us. But for him to just kind of basically tell his team, like, look, we are not getting swept. This is not what we came here to do kind of mentality. And just as dominated these games three, you know, games 4, 5, 6, 7 or 4, 5, 6 so far here, he has just been just unbelievable. I'm still blown away, even though how many highlights have I seen of him with how fast I'm watching him, that I'm still in awe of how much faster he is with the puck. I know he can skate like the wind. We've seen it in competition and things like that, but just when he has the puck, how he's able to separate, how he's able to create space, how he's able to even kind of kill time until something else opens up that he's able to find one of his teammates for. I'm really, really impressed. I mean, I know coming into the Stanley Cup final, a lot of people were like, oh my God, there's five former Sabres on the Panthers. How painful will it be for us to watch Ryan O'Reilly did what he did in the playoffs, then Jack Eichel last year raised the cup. Now we're going to get to see five former Sabres. Well, to me, it's just as painful thinking one ping pong ball could have had Connor McDavid on the Sabres and Tim Murray's master plan would have all worked out. Instead, even if McDavid ends up raising the cup on Monday night, like to me, it'll be another reminder of, yep, that was intended for McDavid. We know Eichel was a nice, you know, second place prize, but that whole thing was intended to try to get Connor McDavid to turn the franchise around. And now he's one game away from turning an Oilers franchise that was a mess when he got there into now what could be a Stanley Cup winning one.
Brian, and you made mention of that when we last talked about the start of the Stanley Cup final, which was, oh, there's going to be pain either way. You're either going to see a bunch of former Sabres winning the cup, or you're going to see that ping pong ball that went awry win the cup. And here we are. We're now talking about it in the craziest way possible. Up 3-0, the Panthers are now in the midst of a collapse. And Brian, you've been around covering this game long enough that the mindset as a Florida Panther can't be in a good spot at this moment.
I thought coming home for game five after they, you know, got beaten pretty bad that 8-1 game, like, all right, here's our reset button. We're back home. They even admitted to having kind of that anxiety or that feeling of, hey, family and friends traveled all the way to Edmonton to see us close it out in game four. We didn't get it done. I can't even imagine what they felt like last night going in after they let up that first goal. Definitely, I'm sure there was a lot of, here we go again. And now coming home, all the pressure is on Florida. They can't be the team that blows the first 3-0 lead here. Like, they can't be the one that doesn't. They're on home ice. You can't be that team. And I got to think right now that everybody in that room has got to be doubting kind of what their game is all about. Florida is excellent. They proved it in the first three games. They totally shut down Edmonton's power play. I think a lot has to be determined maybe on how game seven is refereed. And I know that that's kind of silly to say, but a lot of times in these game sevens, we see referees swallow their whistles, which means special teams becomes almost a non-factor. We know Edmonton's power play is lethal. Even their shorthanded team this year has been pretty good scoring goals on Florida. If it, to me, gets called very, very loosely in the sense that they let players pretty much do whatever they want in game seven, to me, that's an advantage to Florida. I think they need that. They have obviously found it out that playing a more wide open, faster game, even though I think they can play it, is not in their best interest because of what Edmonton's skill set is, what their best players are. To me, Florida's got to go back to saying, look, we have to have the first goal. We have to be able to then get to our defensive awareness and our ability to have guys like Barkov shine, get to there and try to win 2-1. Because I think anything else other than that strategy right now that they are failing at miserably. And clearly, if they give up the first goal, man, the thoughts that might be in their head about blowing this lead, like, I can't even imagine what they're going to be thinking. I'm sure they're running through their head right now. To me, for Florida, it's cliche in any sporting event, they get on the board first. The Panthers have to get that first goal in that game seven. Otherwise, I could see just a mental collapse out of them instantly right away.
Brian Kozel joining us on the Wester Hotline. Brian, of course, with all this drama happening with game seven on the line, all the marbles, the NHL draft is next week. And the thought that I'm having now heading into and getting closer to the draft is, I'm getting more nervous because I need to see a pulse when it comes to acquisition potential or a way to help out the forward core now for the Sabres. And you're starting to see moves like Pierre-Luc Dubois gets traded from LA to Washington. The Devils go ahead and acquire Jacob Markstrom. So like they're not waiting for the end of the Cup final now, but as we get closer and closer, it's starting to become a question of what do the Sabres need to do for me to start feeling confident again in improvement for heading into next season?
I have a feeling no matter what player Kevin Adams takes at 11, if he ends up using the pick, fans are going to be disappointed. And it should be no slight on whoever ends up being selected at 11 and no fault of that player at all. but I'm going to feel that disappointment too, because for a GM to be open about moving the pick, I mean, usually GMs are very reserved to let on any sort of strategy. He's come out right away and talked about how moving the pick is something that they're very much looking into, that he's essentially said we're open for business with that pick. Because by you saying that, that doesn't help your bargaining strategy. So, I mean, for him to do that, like, I think he's there's no secrets being held back here. Like, they want to move that pick. I think Kevin Adams has to feel like, look, I have Lindy Ruff here on a 2-year deal. I can't take a player that's not going to play in 2 seasons or more from now. I have to have a guy ready here, ready to go. Because if this doesn't work out, guess what? I might be the next person fired here. Lindy Ruff might somehow survive, you know, the next bad thing that happens to this franchise before Kevin Adams does. So I think he's got to have sort of a sense of, look, I have to get this done in terms of moving a pick that's going to result in an NHL player. We know the whole bottom six, you could be argued, couldn't be entirely flipped. I'm in agreement with that. Who knows if Jeff Skinner will be on the roster or not. We might find that out even before the draft. So that's something that obviously is another layer in all of this. But to me, they've got to figure out a way to get a guy that's going to be on the NHL roster come opening night with this pick if they're going to move it. I think he has to do everything he can. Now, you don't want to just give it away. Obviously, that goes without being said. But he's got to figure out the right partner, make a move. Someone's going to want that pick. It does have value. But they need to win now. Kevin Adams does not have to worry about 3 years from now when this guy might be ready to play in the NHL, because he might not be here.
So, Brian, you mentioned Jeff Skinner and the buyout rumors. How likely, like, is that more likely than not to happen? And why would that happen, I guess? I mean, I can see why, just from your professional opinion, I guess. Why do you think that would happen?
Well, a couple reasons, I guess, maybe why that could be an option. The first one is that, of course, yes, he is carrying some salary, and cutting it would this year free up quite a bit of money that the Sabres could go out and spend somewhere else. Jeff Skinner is a super likable player in that room. That, I mean, you don't have to worry about the makeup in the room and the culture and all that sort of thing goes with Skinner. So, like, if that could be one layer to why you'd want to remove a player, that's not the reason for Jeff Skinner. I mean, he's well-liked. He's very popular with fans. You know, that part of it is there. Well, what's the negative of Jeff Skinner? Well, he holds a big salary, and he really, really is a liability defensively, and he's essentially unusable in overtime. We've seen that. We saw that a couple of times last year with the Sabres lost games in overtime with Jeff Skinner on the ice, where he was definitely in a position of not being where he needed to be defensively, where he was lost, where he was traveling around in circles, not sure of where he even was supposed to be with his defensive responsibility. And you wonder if Lindy Ruff says, look, that's not my kind of player. I need to know that I can count on this guy on both ends. And if we're going to pay this guy this much money and I can only play him in offensive zone situations, that's not ideal. Now, to me, is he still capable of scoring 30 to 35 goals if he's playing in a top two line role? I think he still is. So while there is an argument to be made to buy him out, I also want to know, tell me where the 30 to 35 goals are coming back from. Does that mean players from Rochester you feel are going to take that role? Does it mean you're using this money to go out and buy another free agent? Does it mean this money frees up the ability to make another trade that's bringing in a salary? Okay, I'll listen. But just to buy out, if you're not going to use that money, if it's just a way of like, well, this cushions the blow and we'll bring up, you know, somebody from Rochester and just hope that it works and fill in the role, or we'll move Zach Benson up into his role or whatever it is. Like, to me, that's not a viable plan. If you're going to buy out Jeff Skinner, tell me where the 30 to 35 goals are coming back, because that's still, if you remember last year, what was the biggest flaw with the team? They couldn't score, and they lost a lot of games with very, very good goaltending, 2-1 and 3-2, and they couldn't get power play goals, and they couldn't get the goal in overtime to win. Skinner at least still has that ability in my mind to do that at a fairly high level. So I'm not against the buyout, but you better make sure that you figure out who's coming in to replace that at least 30-goal production that I think he's still capable of giving you.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Brian. It's got to be, you have to have the plan in place in order to do that, because you're already looking at a squad that needs to improve its forward core, and losing a proven goal scorer that still would have a lot left in the tank seems a little counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, I get the money. I understand. And maybe Lindy Ruff says, look, Jeff Skinner needs a change of scenery. You know, we need him to have for our organization a change of scenery. The ability to buy him out frees up all this money. Well, this is what we're going to do with that money. We're already, you know, in talks with this so-and-so player, XYZ. This guy's going to come in. He's capable of not only replacing his production in terms of goals, but we know that maybe long-term it can help us financially more. Maybe he's younger. And, of course, can he maybe be a better two-way player? So I'm not against doing it. I think there's reasons to do it. But I don't want to do it just because the cap allows you to. Like, tell me how you're replacing what he does bring to the team in the positive manner. He does bring a lot of good things to this team. And, you know, for I think hockey, maybe more than other sports, like the intangibles category, like I think he has some of those. He's very well liked in that room. And they respect him quite a bit. So I think they've got to make sure that not only are they going to replace him with, or if they're going to take him off the books with the money, that they are making a wise decision about who's filling in his spot. I'm sure Kevin Adams has thought about that, but I just don't want it to be of, well, we'll kind of just call someone up and bump everybody up and just hope that we get those goals back. Because last year, again, if you had better goal production, maybe we're talking about the Sabres' drought finally being over. Instead, we're sitting there thinking again how they didn't have enough offense to get it done. And we keep saying, well, the bottom six has to get redone. Maybe you've got to add to the top six. Well, if you remove Skinner, that's another spot. You've got to go out and figure out a way to replace it. So it's not just as easy as just total buying them out. I know on paper there's an argument to do so financially, but tell me who's coming in to replace it. When that happens, then it'll seem like a good move.
All right, Brian. Well, we'll be hearing plenty more of what you've got for the hockey side of things, as well as every week with Tee to Green. So I can't wait to hear from you again on Friday night, and as we hear you every Saturday morning.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it. Yep, we'll be on Friday for round one. Paul will be in Vegas at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know you'll be a part of our coverage on Saturday as well with Paul at the draft. So you and I and Brayton and Josh and TJ and Evan and the crew will make sure it's all set. And, you know, Paul got the best straw of all of us. He's out in Vegas. And, you know,
Me, TJ, and Josh have got a pretty good one, too. We're going to be at Harbor Center broadcasting from close to the end of the 11-day before we take the ice for the second time in 3 days. So we'll have ourselves some good fun, too.
That is great. So that'll be on Saturday afternoon. Excellent.
Yep. All right, Brian.
Maybe I'll have to see if we can get the draft show Friday night down there, too. That'll be fun to be down there for that.
I was going to say, talk to Alan. It's not like we're not going to have the table set up.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Look at me. I'm
looking forward to it. And thanks for, hey, I know you've been very active with the WGR team. So thanks to you and everybody that's involved in the 11-day power play. We were talking this morning on Tee to Green, our putting challenge, about doing charity work and how I was, you know, watching yesterday the ride for Roswell and just like how cool that sports, again, are doing such good things in Western New York, whether it's a golf event raising charity. We know we have the ride for Roswell. Bulldog was involved in that this morning. Jeremy and Nate did that 100 holes for golf. You and a whole bunch of others from the station are doing the 11-day power play. Like, just, I love how our station and our guys are all kind of finding their niche to give back through sports, which is why I love living here. Like, you get really good stuff like this that we're all raising money for good causes. So just wanted to give a pat on the back to everybody involved, you know, in Western New York. If you're involved in any of these events that you do to raise money for good causes, you know, kudos to you and keep it up.
Thank you, Brian. Next up, full contact football.
Oh, boy.
All right, Brian. We will talk to you later, though, and thank you, as always, for jumping on.
All right. You got it, guys. Have a great day.
Brian Koziel on the West Her Hotline there. We are super-duper late to the break.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fix the structure. We kind of ruined Booty Cheek of the Week
We blew it up.
And I'm the Booty Cheek for missing the schedule or the format here so badly that we gotta readjust. Let's readjust here. You're listening to WGR. I can't not do this segment. Come on. It's my baby.
We have to.
It's an honor-born obligation.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if we want to get it sponsored one day, we have to consistently do it. It just has to happen.
Break structure be damned. All right. So, other than me blowing up the break structure for Booty Cheek of the Week, I mean, this one's pretty simple to me. It's the Washington Capitals again.
Yeah, for cap friendly.
No, not just that.
Mm-hmm.
They made the trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois, who just is not an elite player.
Yeah.
He's not.
Who'd they trade for him?
They traded goaltender Darcy Kuemper. Okay. I got to get the full trade package up. But
so they gave up a lot for him?
I wouldn't say a lot, but trading for someone who has routinely been kind of just like this meh kind of a player.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah. It looks like it was Kuemper for Dubois, straight up. The trade is one for one. And the LA Kings gave up a lot to get Pierre-Luc Dubois. The Winnipeg Jets also gave up a lot to get Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Mm-hmm.
The Columbus Blue Jackets took him third overall. It's like the guy still is riding on this high draft capital and is this acquisition that people have to be like, oh my God, it's Pierre-Luc Dubois. And finally in LA, it kind of like the bad attitude that he seems to have on the ice finally started showing up.
Yeah.
To the point where the guy's getting healthy scratched. And yeah, it might be fit, it might be whatever, or it's just the guy doesn't ever play hard. He just coasts on the talent that he has and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's like, so the Washington Capitals, though, like, I wish bad will upon you because...
For multiple reasons.
for taking cap friendly from us.
Yeah.
But the NHL is more still that big reason.
Yeah. Mine is definitely the Florida Panthers. Essentially, yep. They're sitting in that chair in the corner of the hotel room watching Connor McDavid. Like, at that point, you know. I'm not going to go further like for the our
they're
FCC.
They're staring down the barrel of a gun now, but the problem is they walked up to it.
Yes. It's like they're playing roulette, but they're willingly playing roulette. Like, it's not a survival situation.
I'm going to put a fifth one in the chamber.
Yeah. Let me load it up for you. That's what they said. I've got extras in my pocket.
I've got extras.
Let me fill it for you. That's what they said.
Let's use two.
So here we are. Yeah. You know, six chambers, six rounds. Here we go. Just fill it up. That's where they're at this point.
See that? I just shot my foot.
Yeah.
And it's real. It's literally Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yes.
That's what's going on to them right now.
It is.
See that? I just shot my foot.
And it's real.
And it's real, and you're jumping down, up and down holding your foot.
It's like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights when he puts the knife through his leg because he thinks he's paralyzed.
That is what has happened to the Florida Panthers right now.
Yeah.
There's still time to recover, though.
He's on fire. He's running around the track on fire. That's the Florida Panthers.
The beautiful thing is they're not dead yet.
Nope.
And
just got to embrace the cougar in the car.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, it's a panther.
Yes.
Like, isn't that crazy?
Where's that bulldog open?
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right, we got to go. We'll be back. Coming up, I've got a super depressing stat for everyone.
Yikes.
Yeah, so there, we'll throw me in as an honorary mention for Booty Cheek of the Week because I'm sad now.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell everyone why coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play hard. You just coast on the talent that he has, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's like, so the Washington Capitals, though, like, I wish bad will upon you. Because
for multiple reasons,
for taking cap friendly from us,
yeah.
But the NHL is more still that big reason.
Yeah, I'm still. Mine is definitely the Florida Panthers. Essentially, yep. They're sitting in that chair in the corner of the hotel room watching Connor McDavid. Like at that point, you know, I'm not going to go further. Like for the our
they're
FCC,
staring.
But
they're staring down the barrel of a gun now. But the problem is they walked up to it.
Yes. It's like they're playing roulette, but they're willingly playing roulette. Like, it's not a survival situation.
I'm going to put a fifth one in the chamber.
Yeah. Let me load it up for you. That's what they said. I've got extras in my pocket.
I've got extras.
Let me fill it for you. That's what they said.
Let's use two.
So here we are. Yeah. You know, so, oh, six chambers, six rounds. Here we go. Just fill it up. That's where they're at this
See
point.
See that? I just shot my foot.
Yeah.
And it's real. It's literally Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yes.
That's what's going on to them right now.
It is.
See that? I just shot my foot.
And it's real.
And it's real, and you're jumping down, up and down holding your foot.
It's like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights when he puts the knife through his leg because he thinks he's paralyzed.
That is what has happened to the Florida Panthers right now.
Yeah.
There's still time to recover, though.
He's on fire. He's running around the track on fire. That's the Florida Panthers.
The beautiful thing is they're not dead yet.
Nope.
And
just got to embrace the cougar in the car.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, it's a panther.
Yes.
Like, isn't that crazy?
Where's that bulldog open?
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right, we got to go. We'll be back. Coming up, I've got a super depressing stat for everyone.
Yikes.
Yeah, so there, we'll throw me in as an honorary mention for Booty Cheek of the Week because I'm sad now.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell everyone why coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.